And surprise, I'm back. No, Robert called me this week because of Bill having had a heart attack, his deacon, Bill. So he thought it was best that he stay at this Sunday because of Bill having had a heart attack. And so he asked if I could come and celebrate because we also have Chris back to do our preaching today. So I jumped at the chance to come back and be with y'all and not have to worry about writing a sermon. So it's my pleasure and my pleasure to get to know and to hear Chris today. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Done for me.
cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Alleluia.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways and inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, What things? They replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
All this week, I have been struggling, as you can hear in my voice, with pollen. And usually, I don't have that issue. But this year, there's something going on in the air. And so, I have a splitting headache. And to top things off, my tire was flat this morning. Which kind of fits in with the whole travel theme, motif of Luke in our passage today. But usually, I don't write everything down, but I did this time, and I'm glad I did. You know, Americans oftentimes call the Sunday after Easter Low Sunday. And that's usually because no one shows up, and y'all usually have a kind of, you know, strange attitude. Americans call it a hangover. Today's passage, all that excitement and eggs and chocolate, you know, today's passage offers a glimpse of Jesus and his disciples after the first Easter. And the story begins with two of Jesus' followers, Cleopas, and an unnamed person who may well have been his wife. And they are traveling, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which I think is approximately 7 miles away. It is no accident that the first place the risen Jesus shows up in the Gospel of Luke is on a road. Journeying is a prominent motif in the Luke two-volume work, Luke, the Gospel, and also Acts. Jesus meets people along the road. The middle section of Luke's Gospel, oftentimes referred to as the travel narrative, is structured around Jesus journeying from Galilee to Jerusalem. Acts also says that the first Christians, they didn't call themselves Christians, they called themselves the people of the way. It was very much of a process, of a journey. The Lucan focus on travel, both literal and figurative, serves as an apt metaphor for discipleship, becoming a Christian, a believer, and then following Jesus' footsteps. Now, in this circumstance, suddenly Jesus appears on the road and asks, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" This apparently innocuous question is worth contemplating. When Cleopas and his companion are discussing, or what Cleopas and his companion are discussing, is the news. Jesus has just been crucified, and in the Roman Empire, crucifixion was big news. It was very political news, but it was big news. And like many today, Cleopas and his companion have lost hope in the face of this political news. He declares in the past tense, "We had hoped Jesus would be the one to redeem us." They have heard that Jesus' tomb is empty, but they do not believe it. The Emmaus Road story reminds us that it is directly into a dire political climate that Jesus himself comes along. Still, they do not recognize him. So there he is. It is a bit absurd that Cleopas and his friend cannot recognize the man they thought was the Messiah just 3 days before. The text actually says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Who or what kept their eyes from recognizing the truth? For me, today it's pollen. And a flat tire. We cannot really know in this circumstance, but what if the disciples cannot see Jesus, at least in part, because they think they already understand what is going on, which is what we oftentimes do when we hear of some tragedy or some exciting news. We're quick to just decide what we already think. Here's why I say this. Jesus asks them what they are discussing. Cleopas responds, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened?" It's hard not to even sense a little bit of disdain in that attitude toward Jesus. You know, really? Really? Where do you live that you haven't heard about this stuff? What if the disciples cannot recognize Jesus because their opinions are already fully formed? Like all humans, their assumptions shape what they talk about, and what they talk about shapes what they see. Cleopas assumes, one, that Jesus is clueless, and two, that his cluelessness makes him a stranger. And not just a stranger, an outsider, one who does not belong. Now, this may or may not be helpful, but the original Greek for the word stranger is parakois, oikos means house, and so literally parakois means outside the house. This is the same word that is used for someone who lives in a country without citizenship. Cleopas calls Jesus an immigrant, to some extent, a foreigner. How often do we, too, assume that we understand and that others are outsiders who do not belong? What we talk about matters. What we pay attention to grows. The stories we tell confirm certain beliefs and not others. How many of us keep telling the same stories in the same ways to those who already agree with us? I know I do, or I catch myself doing that. Sometimes listening to people with whom I strongly disagree makes me anxious or angry. That is especially hard when those folks are friends or family members or fellow parishioners. So we avoid it. Just as an aside, you know, it used to be that Anglicans and Episcopalians, they would attend the church that was nearest to where they lived. So it was very likely that you would be sitting next to someone who would annoy you. Because we don't curate now. Now we curate and we go to churches for people who think like us. At least we thought that until we discover they don't. But there's plenty of churches to choose from. The danger, of course, and of course then you never grow as a human being, but whatever. The danger, of course, is that like Cleopas and his companion, our own limitations can lead us to miss Jesus altogether. And not just Jesus, but everything the risen Jesus embodies. Hope, new life, the promise that suffering and death are not the end of the story. The disciples explain to Jesus that their leader, Jesus, has just died on a cross. And then Cleopas says, some of the women shocked us by saying his tomb is empty, and others went and verified their story, but they did not see him. Another assumption. Cleopas assumes the women and other disciples who proclaimed that the tomb was empty must be peddling falsehoods because they did not see Jesus. This is dripping with irony. Cleopas cannot see that he is describing his dashed hopes to the one in whom those hopes are fulfilled. This often happens in Jesus' parables. The one who assumes he understands is shown to be a fool. Jesus' question, "What are you discussing?" pushes us to pause and pay attention to the stories that we are telling and to the fact that what we discuss shapes what we can and cannot see. Do the things we discuss among ourselves, and I'm talking about us, and the assumptions we make when we talk lead us toward Jesus, toward wholeness, away from bitterness? Conversely, what are we not discussing? To what and to whom are we not paying attention? And in our neglect or ignorance, devaluing other travelers on this shared journey. Jesus asks Cleopas and his companion twice what they are talking about, even though he obviously knows. He is the expert, to some extent, because he is the one who experienced it. What they really need to do is to listen to him tell the story. Instead, they discuss someone else's suffering, assuming they already understand. This ironically leads them to miss the truth, the risen Jesus, when he is right there with them. This passage invites us to ask, what are we discussing, and how are we discussing it? What are we assuming we understand that perhaps we do not? Do we really see what we think we see? We follow Jesus' Emmaus Road example when, instead of claiming we already know something, jumping to conclusions, we ask questions and really wait and listen for the answers. I remember seeing this sign on a very large, a billboard sign on a marquee. It was actually a marquee, not a billboard sign. And it had the words, "You don't matter, give up." And depending on how you read it, which of course as Americans, we as English-speaking people, we read from left to right, that's how we read it. You don't matter, give up. And in just a moment, you can actually shift and you can see it says, you matter, don't give up. So much depends upon how you see something, right? This is not about hallucination. It was tempting to bring up, especially with all these disciples seeing Jesus risen, bringing up that notion of bereavement hallucination. I mean, it is true that we can see people after they die and we talk to them, but it's kind of like a scientific fact, and yet this is very different because many people are seeing him and the tomb is empty. And we can't even believe what we see right before our eyes. And I personally have noticed that tendency in myself. To default to the hearsay, to default to the negative thinking, to the default to what I think I already know. And it eliminates the possibility of what I don't know and what I actually can see. Sometimes good things happen. Oftentimes good things happen. But even in the midst of the good things, you can interpret it as a negative. I wanted to finish with a poem by an Irish poet, Sheenach Pugh, and the poem is entitled Sometimes. Sometimes things don't go, after all, from bad to worse. Some years, muscadel faces down frost. Green thrives. The crops don't fail. Sometimes a man aims high and all goes well. A people sometimes will step back from war, elect an honest man, decide they care enough that they can't leave some stranger poor. Some men become what they were born for. Sometimes our best intentions do not go amiss. Sometimes we do as we meant to. The sun will sometimes melt a field of sorrow that seemed hard frozen. May it happen to you. Amen.
United in the hope of joy and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you breathe your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effect of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community's leaders, especially Mayors Tim Kelly and Weston Womp. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You come among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief, especially Ava, Belinda, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Joy, Julianne, Kelly, Cindy, Debbie, Randy, and Bill. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages. To nurture our connection to you and one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for your blessing with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace. peace, brother. Peace. Peace, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to thank Harry and Chris for sharing this with us today. For those, I'm sure everybody's heard, Deacon Bill had a heart attack. My understanding is he's now at home resting, but keep him and his family in your prayers, please. One last announcement for me is that there is a new sign-up sheet, easy for me to say, in the Northwoods for the food pantry. So please consider volunteering some of your Saturday time for the food pantry. It's really an important thing in a ministry for this church. Are there any other announcements? Deb?
Well, Easter has come and is still with us, but we have lilies. If you'd like to take some home, please do.
Anything else?
Actually, yeah, I just thought of something again. For those who are on the vestry, we have a meeting Wednesday at 6:30, our weekly monthly meeting. If you are not on the vestry and you would just like to come and check it out, feel free. We'll meet in the parish hall. I'll sit out there.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Away. These are the gifts of God given for you, the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Risen Lord, you are known to us in the breaking of the bread. Help us to see your hand at work in the world about us, in all the things and people that we encounter in this life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.